and welcome to Treatland. This is the podcast where you, our listeners, share your favorite food memories from childhood. Each episode has its own food-related theme. And if you like what you hear today, please subscribe to our show.
I have always loved chewy candy, sour candy, really all candy, but I have a special place in my heart for sure for the chewy, fruity, sour kinds. As far back as I can remember, I would have sleepovers with my friends and we would stockpile candy. I remember for a while, the big thing to do was to set up a tent in your backyard. And so my friend, who was older than me and seemed like the coolest person ever, her mom would let her buy all the candy she wanted. And my mom did not let me buy candy. She didn't let me keep it at the house. So when she would have me over and we'd set up our tent, she would stuff the little side pockets of the tent with candy. And I was literally in heaven with Sour Patch Kids and gummy worms and Now and Laters and Starburst and every single candy under the sun. And it was always my favorite thing that I looked forward to. And I basically still do that, but without the tent. And I just stuff my purse full of chewy, sour, gummy candies whenever I can, especially if I'm going to a movie.
Hey everyone, Rebecca here. Welcome to Treatland episode 12. This took me a bit to put this one out, but I've had these stories for a while now. Our episode is about chewy things. As you can imagine, most of them are about candy. So we'll get right into them starting now.
Chewy things. Wow, that is a creative as heck topic. First thing I thought of when you had mentioned chewy things was the old Fig Newton commercial from the 70s. Ooey gooey, rich and chewy inside, but then you bit into the Fig Newton and it really wasn't that chewy. I'll remember that Fig Newton. Anyway, I digress. So chewy items, I would say taffy, which I never liked, of course. Everyone would probably say that's really chewy. But the item that in the 70s I loved, fast forward to 2 days ago, still love them, still have a bag of them. The Kraft caramels, the little square boxes of goodness. People would melt those down and dip your apples in them for a nice caramel apple. Or you had those like me that did, and still do, pop those suckers in your mouth and chew to your heart's content. The only problem was with those, especially back in the 70s, for those of us that had braces. Now, orthodontia back in the 70s was not great. So I had braces for a couple years while in grade school. Yet, I could give up the potato chips, fine. Give up chewing ice, which I always liked, fine. The one thing I couldn't, however, were the Kraft caramels. Still pop those in my mouth, and about 15 seconds later, bing, there goes one of the bands or one of the caps off the braces, much to mom and dad's chagrin, dragging me to orthodontist every other week, it seemed, for a while, before they were banned from our house. But Kraft caramels, Rebecca, definitely were and still are my favorite chewy treat. I'm sure everyone's had it. Brock's had some too. There are other brands as well. Really good. They all actually, there's really no difference when you think about it. I remember, yeah, I would try different brands and they all pretty much tasted the same. But the first one I ever had was a Kraft one. And since I'm a big traditionalist, it's always the Kraft caramels for me. And you're a little younger, so you may not have had one of these, or you may have had it in its melted form. Try one out of a bag. But then make sure you don't have a loose filling or something, or that sucker is going to go bye-bye. Also, and this is something I learned the hard way, if you have a fondue pot, don't try to melt the caramels in the fondue pot. Melt them another way. Why, you may ask? Because you will ruin the fondue pot. Again, mom and dad really never let me hear the end of that one either. Ah, youth. Well, anyway, that's my favorite chewy item. And also, I'm going to plug in for fruit stripe gum, which is a chewy item in my book. I'm not sure they still make it, but if they do, get fruit stripe as well. The zebra is cute on the package. But for your chewy candy treat, Kraft caramels, or actually any little square caramel.
Hello, this goes out to all my orally fixated friends out there like me. You know, you can't smoke continuously, you can't eat continuously or drink continuously or whistle continuously, right? Or bite your nails continuously or talk continuously without consequences. But really, I think in my mind, I've rationalized that you can chew gum consistently and it gives your mouth something to do for a long period of time. I've loved gum since I was a kid. I love it. Whenever we would, you know, trick or treat, I always wanted the gum or the blow pops because it had gum in it. My friend's mom had a glass canister in their kitchen. It was almost bigger, maybe 2 gallons could fit in there. But she had it filled with packs of Carefree gum in all different flavors. There was like 5 sticks in a pack and they were just like loose in there. Like it was a candy shop. It was really enticing when I was a kid. And my favorite was the Carefree fruit flavor. Ooh, I loved that. And I tried to find it on eBay recently and I was pretty disappointed. but any kind of gum. And I remember even like, you know, I don't eat sugary gum anymore really, or actually any gum sadly anymore. But when I could, oh my gosh, I remember Bazooka gum was like, loved Bazooka gum. Bubblicious, Hubba Bubba. Do you guys remember the banana flavor Hubba Bubba? I always thought that was kind of gross, but the grape Hubba Bubba, or the bubblegum flavor, I loved it. I actually liked Bubblicious a little better, and I love the, you know, the bubbly lettering and stuff. I'm a graphic designer, so that always speaks to me, but I remember being like in, you know, 5th grade and we'd have a contest to see how many pieces you could put in your mouth at a time and chew it. But I think I got to 4. Oh my gosh. Now thinking back about it, but holy cow, the bubbles you can blow. Boy, they would like, you know, hope the wind isn't blowing at you when it pops, right? That's when you got some cleanup on your hands. And then I remember, Big Red. Remember how spicy Big Red was? I like that. And then we had, I think it was made in New York State, Double Bubble. I think it's made around here. And there was like a powder on the little piece of gum between the wrapper and the gum. And it was a little different shape, but that had an interesting flavor to it. It wasn't, I don't know, it had a little chemically flavor, but I loved it. I didn't even care. Just like you could chew it forever. Like it just would not break down. I know I've chewed that brand Extra gum too long before and it broke down in my mouth. Like it was like it started to deteriorate and had to throw that out. So I definitely probably chew gum longer than you're supposed to, but I absolutely loved it. Gum, best thing ever.
I would be very interested to do some sort of a study on whatever sensory connections we had with chewier foods whenever we were younger. I don't know if it was a youth thing or the simple fact that we subconsciously felt like our candy was maybe lasting a little bit longer because it took so much longer to chew and consume. All I know is that I find the older I get, the less patient and tolerant I've become for candy that makes you feel like you're about to get a case of lockjaw. Case in point, okay, Tootsie Rolls. I used to love everything about Tootsie Rolls when I was a kid. They were definitely the unsung heroes of a perfectly filled trick-or-treat bag at the end of a successful Halloween haul. Don't get me wrong, of course. I mean, I love the various chocolate treats, the Snickers, the Kit Kats, the, you know, the usual suspects. But there was something about getting a Tootsie Roll that was a nice little treat. It was kind of a welcome break from the norm of the quote unquote popular candies. And then, of course, they would start branching out, making those different flavors of the Tootsie Roll that I don't think were technically the same brand, but some sort of knockoff version of Tootsie Roll where they started introducing fruit flavors as a different alternative to the traditional Tootsie Roll. But of course, I think another unsung hero of the bunch to your trick-or-treat haul would be like stumbling across the little mini boxes of Milk Duds. And of course, those were always a treat when you'd go to the movies and maybe buy a box to go along with your popcorn. But I could go on and on, from Laffy Taffy to Airheads to the Chewy Sweethearts. And I mean, you could even throw Starburst into that mix. All things that really are still alive and well to this day and seemingly very popular. I don't know. Maybe it's just aging joints and mouth muscles. Maybe it's the care of dental health that I've maybe not quite had as a child that I do now as an adult. But just the sheer exhaustion of chewing on something that starts to exert muscles in my jaw I didn't even know I had, or the time that I've chipped a tooth, or damage to a filling that I've done over the years. But sadly, I can only look back on chewy candy with fond memories. Maybe an unpopular opinion, but today I just choose not to work so hard for my snacks.
I have a few all-time favorite chewy items from the past. Most of them are candy. Most of them are gummy candy. One of the first ones I think of is String Thing, which was this white thin cardstock that had a long stringy gummy that was pressed into it, and they had different shapes. A lot of them were kind of just like a swirly design. This was one of the best chewy candies I've ever had. It was really tart. It came in this wrapping. I think it had like a matte type material on the outside. And when you opened it up, it smelled so good. Another one I think of is these Swedish fish that they only sold at Blockbuster. And so I remember as a kid, we would go on a Friday night and we would spend probably like an hour in there, and we'd be with our friends and we would get the candy at the front of the checkout. And they had this tub of what was like a knockoff Swedish fish brand, and they were kind of sour. I think they actually call them Nordic fish. And I know that they've had other varieties that are purple and really, really good. I can't even really describe the flavor. It wasn't great, but like I said, these were better than regular Swedish fish just because they were super tart. Another candy from childhood, I remember there was a really cute candy shop that was in the village of Williamsville that I grew up in called Sweet Jenny's. It was on this corner near a little park with a waterfall. It was really beautiful over there in the summer especially. And we'd go over there and my mom would look in the little shop and I would always want to buy something. I think she bought cards there sometimes, but of course I wanted candy. Something they sold there that I would never typically see anywhere else were prehistoric eggs. An egg that kind of looked like a jawbreaker. So it was basically like this hard shell, hard candy shell with chocolate on the inside. And then once you got to the center of it, there was a little dinosaur gummy. This thing was so good. I would just like bite right into it. I would devour those in a matter of seconds. The last item and my favorite of all are something called Brock Rocks. And this was something from the 90s that I'm sure people remember too. Another dinosaur themed chewy candy that I loved. These are kind of similar to jelly beans. They almost look like a little dinosaur egg, and they were purple. And the inside was like really beautiful. It looked like a little geode. So it was kind of like the inside of this beautiful little rock. Their mascot was this dinosaur named Rocky D. And if you look him up, like, I love the illustrations of him. He's really cute. And they even had like a little comic strip about him. For a while, I was thinking of getting like a tattoo of this dinosaur, which is not really my smartest thought. But I have such good memories of these candies. My brother and I love them, and we used to talk about them often and how we had never heard anyone else mention them before. So they kind of were under the radar. The flavor was very unique. I really can't compare it to anything else. Maybe elderberry, if you're familiar with some of these elderberry products they've been putting out. But it was kind of similar to that. Better than just a typical blueberry flavor or raspberry. I don't typically eat chewy stuff anymore, and I associate it with watching movies, that Blockbuster trip, and then we'd always end up buying bulk gummy candy before we go to the drive-in or the movie theater. So I have great memories of just eating tons of gummies and candies while watching some of my favorite movies with friends as a kid. That's something I never do anymore. So those memories are very special to me.
Sour candy really played a huge role in my childhood. And I feel like they didn't used to have all the varieties they have now. Like if you go to 7-Eleven or the grocery store, there's like every single type of fruit as a sour candy. But I just remember the trolley gummy worms with the sour sugar on them. I remember those being a huge deal when I was a kid. And they came in a black bag and they had anthropomorphic worms on the bag, which I always thought was cute as a kid. And that was always kind of like my candy of choice. Now that I'm older, I don't really like the worms as much, but I really like the frogs. I live in Santa Cruz and there's a boardwalk here, and there's a candy shop on the boardwalk and it's family owned. And I actually went there today because I wanted to, I mean, I go there a lot, but I wanted to kind of take it all in so that I could share it for the podcast. But they have a sign outside that says that it's 4 generations owned. And the taffy pulling machine that they have has been there since the 20s. And they have every type of gummy you could think of. They have gummy frogs, gummy worms, gummy bears. They have gummy octopuses, gummy stingrays, which are my son's favorite. The watermelon Sour Patch Kids, but not Sour Patch Kids, you know, better. So many different sized jawbreakers. They have these really long, like, licorice things, which I've never had, but I want to try. Sour Belts, which, who doesn't love Sour Belts? They also make their cotton candy there by hand, and when they make it, you could just... I know that it's not chewy, but I mean, the smell of cotton candy is just, it fills up the boardwalk and it's amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. They also have Army Men, like the Army Men from Toy Story. They also have Rock Candy, which also I know is not chewy, but I actually, that's what I bought today was Rock Candy. Just takes you back to childhood, you know? They already started putting the Valentine's Day stuff out at the store. So I bought my son this Sour Patch Kids, like, heart. Like, it's a heart-shaped box, but instead of chocolate inside, there's Sour Patch Kids inside. And I just know he's going to love it. What I love more than gummy, though, I'm just going to say, is whatever Swedish fish is considered. I don't know if that's, like, a licorice, but... I like it so much more than the gummy consistency because a lot of gummies are made with gelatin. Sour Patch Kids are not, but a lot of like worms and stuff are made with gelatin. And if I want to go for like a plant-based option and a healthy option, I'll choose Swedish fish, but I love the texture more. It's sort of like got a more waxy, chewy taste to it. And now Swedish fish also came out with like Swedish turtles and Swedish dolphins. Which is super cute and looks like the stuff they have at the candy shop on the boardwalk, but for so much cheaper, but obviously not as good. But yeah, shout out to that candy shop on the beach boardwalk in Santa Cruz. They are iconic. They've been around for so many generations, and it always leaves a smile on my face whenever I walk by.
Lunchtime in elementary school got infinitely better when in grade 5, I was allowed to go to my Nana's for lunch. She lived only a few blocks from the school, so it was a quick walk over. Not only did she make awesome food, but I also got to watch reruns of The Fresh Prince while I ate. And every time, as I would be getting ready to go back to school, my Nana would give me $2 to get a treat from the corner store. Now this was the mid-90s, so you could still get a pop and candy bar for that. But I always went for the penny candy. I would grab one of the little brown paper bags that were kept in the candy aisle and start filling it. Fuzzy peaches, big feet, cherry blasters, Swedish berries, cola bottles, sour keys. I was literally a kid in a candy store. My favorites were always cherry blasters and fuzzy peaches, so I always put extra of those in. When I would return to school with my bag of sweet and sour chewy treats, everyone was excited to see me because they knew I always shared the chewy, sugary wealth.
I've never really been big on rock candy or anything that's like ridiculously hard to eat. I've always preferred chewy, just for whatever reason, I just really like that texture. And I think my earliest memory of a chewy treat, specifically dessert-wise, would be the Chewy Chips Ahoy. Now, I'm going to go sort of curmudgeonly here and say that, yeah, they still have those, but, like, they don't taste the same. They're not as good as they used to be. But Chewy Chips Ahoy I can still kind of get behind a little bit because of the way that I ate them when I was a kid. So when I was a kid, I used to like to take, I don't know, 4 or 5 Chewy Chips Ahoy, toss them in the microwave for, I don't know, probably too long, because half the time they did burn. But, like, I don't know, 30 or 45 seconds. And I would get, like, a little cup of milk. And the first one, as I picked it up, it was, of course, a little too hot. As I picked it up and it sort of, I don't know, jiggle's not the word, but it sort of swayed a little bit because it was softer because you'd microwaved it. As you dip it into the cold milk, it would sizzle a little bit. And then as you would take it over the plate of remaining cookies and drizzle the remaining milk on it, those little droplets would sizzle when they hit the cookies as well, which was just a very satisfying sort of feeling before you actually ate. Then you actually bite into the first cookie, and it's just this wonderful, chewy, almost right out of the oven goodness. Yeah, you might have to watch yourself, you might burn your mouth, but at the same time, it just tastes so good. You don't really care when you're a kid. You don't think about those types of things. And as the milk oozes out, you gotta get the napkin, of course, because your fingers are all covered in chocolate chips and everything. You can't wait to replicate the exact same process with every other remaining cookie on the tray until you get to the last one. Beyond cookies themselves, I am a big aficionado of gum, always have been. I think that started with Bonkers, which is not a bubble gum, by the way. It is actually a fruity candy from the 80s that was absolutely exquisite. But it was very much similar in look to Bubblicious. But what made them different was that they actually had this little flavor square in the middle. So basically, the commercial would always advertise it as chewy fruity candy with an extra fruity inside. It's a cube of candy, and then there's like a little square that you see that's like a different color, but it's usually a darker shade of the same color, unless we're referring to the watermelon flavor, which is green with like a red square. I actually think that's exactly what the Bubblicious watermelon bubblegum looks like as well. This is candy, not gum, but it has the same texture of gum. And I miss Bonkers so much. If I could get the original Bonkers back, I would be very, very happy. Moving on from that, I also do love gum as well. The next best thing to the Bonkers candy was the Bubblicious or Bubble Yum gum, like, you know, the cubes. Aside from, you know, the typical Bubble Yum and Bubblicious, which still exist to this day, they also had these soda-flavored gums, RC Cola, 7-Up, Cherry 7-Up, Dr. Pepper. I think they had a root beer one, and maybe a couple others as well. And they also had Gator gum, which was Gatorade-flavored, but I don't remember liking that one nearly as much. The rarest and most mythical of gummy fruity candies, Jelly Babies. The reason they were so rare was because, as far as I knew, the only way you could get them was through the Doctor Who catalog. And as any Doctor Who fans of the 70s, particularly Tom Baker, knows, he used to mess around with the enemies and aliens by offering them Jelly Babies in his deep booming voice. Would you like a Jelly Baby? They came in this TARDIS-shaped box. Not many in there, so you really had to savor them, which was another bonus aspect of them. And they were sort of like a gummy, a mixture between like a gummy and a meringue almost. More airy, but also, I would say, more fruity flavored. And when I went to the UK in 2009, one of the first things I did was buy a bag. Basset is my favorite so far, and I would say they have the best flavor and texture. Although I'll say this though as well, if you get a stale one, it's almost like trying to chew one of those styrofoam packing peanuts. But anyway, so that's my long-winded roundabout story of graduating from chewy chocolate chip cookies to chewy gum-like candies.
So for my chewy memory, I'm focusing on James's saltwater taffies from Atlantic City, New Jersey, the boardwalk, chewy, sweet, salty, lovely summertime treat. It's such a great memory eating them, especially when they were fresh. You know, they would melt in your mouth. These were top-notch. taffies to definitely go out of your way for, you know, especially if you were in Atlantic City. And of course, being a child, anytime you get to eat candy, it's exciting. Then on top of that, the packaging for the taffies came in a bank. It was a makeshift bank. It held the candy. And then, of course, once you ate all the taffies and took them all out, you had yourself a children's bank. And it was shaped like a barrel. It looked very Western and old-timey. It was very neat. And, like, just nothing really looked like it. And, of course, being able to like, put money and stuff in it, it was exciting. But, of course, there's a catch. The thing that always stood out to me, and this is where the story gets scary, is that the lid to the James's Saltwater Taffy Bank was a clown. And it was a very eerie-looking clown, beady, like, blue eyes, bright red nose, red hair. He looked balding. Just very, very creepy. And then, of course, the insert where you would put the coins in, like the slit, was his mouth. And they even gave him teeth around it. It was awful. So you were inserting coins into this clown's mouth. Like, just the most eerie, like, such a strange thing, especially, you know, being a child in the 90s. You know, my imagination was just, you know, it was not a nice thing to look at. And then, of course, it says cut to fit the mouth. So you can insert different, you know, coin sizes. I think you can even fit like a half dollar in there. But to me, hearing the words cut to fit the mouth by in front of the picture of a clown, nonetheless, a creepy clown with teeth, that's what I associate my memory. That is what comes to mind for a Chewy memory.
The first story was from Whitney Walker. She mentioned the candy tent where the mom had stuffed all the gummy worms and Sour Patch Kids in there. And she still likes to bring her candies around in her purse. And that's definitely something I still do. And then we had Mark with the Kraft Caramels and how they got stuck in his braces. And then Julie Zach's story, where she mentioned a bunch of different gum, including Carefree Gum and Bazooka Gum. Tim mentioned Tootsie Rolls, one that I totally forgot about and also really enjoy. My story, I talked about String Thing and the prehistoric egg and also Brock's Rocks. Then we had Angel, who mentioned the Santa Cruz candy shop and all the gummies that they have there. Then we had Jamie with the penny candy. And next we had Steven's story, where he mentioned Chewy Chips Ahoy and Bonkers. And the last story was from Jeff, and he talked about the creepy clown bank and the saltwater taffy. Thanks, everyone, again, for submitting your stories. I really could not do this without you. If you would like to share your story with us, please email us at treatlandpod@gmail.com.